I sat here on the platform tonight and listened to these young people share what God had accomplished in their lives in this past week, I looked and I saw some who 24 months ago had someone knock on their door and say, "Would you ride a Sunday school bus and come to church?" I looked and I saw some others who had been around and maybe were in and out. I remember Ashley when you were 10 years old. Do you remember? You were at Freeway when you were 10 years old. In fact, Ashley sang a special. Do you remember that? She sang a special at a fifth Sunday night sing. I think you were 10 years old. Was she 10, Laura? I think so. I was so happy when Ashley came back to Freeway Baptist Church. But I remembered the time that she stood here on the platform. I remembered Ian when he was just a junior higher. And I think I first met Ian when you were in the sixth or seventh grade. Seventh grade. And to see him, I knew Ian when Ian was short. and that should tell you something. That's a long time ago, you know. And I knew Ian when Ian had to look up to me. You know what I'm saying? And now I have to look up to him. But, you know, I think about all of the efforts that have gone into investing in lives. And I want to tell you something. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You see, the Lord had just dealt with the rich young ruler. And the disciples were perplexed because they did not understand how that someone who they thought had the blessing of God upon their lives would not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because they believed that if you had material wealth, that somehow meant that you had the smile of heaven upon your life. It may have just meant that you made a good investment or your parents had money or something, but the truth is they didn't quite comprehend it. And as the disciples were dealing with what Jesus taught them about the value of temporal things and that opposed to eternal things, Peter made a statement that spoke volumes. He said, "Lo, we have left all and followed Thee. Lord, we've done all this for You." You know, it is as if he was saying to the Lord, "Here's a guy that has all this, but we left all of that and we followed You." It was as if he was saying, "Lord, what's in it for us? What are we going to get out of all this? Because look, we've given up all this stuff. We've left our families. We've left our homes. And the truth of the matter is there are a lot of folks in the world that think we've made all of these sacrifices for the work of the Lord. And we've made all of these sacrifices of time and of money and of resources. And what do we have to show for any of that?" And sometimes people get to regretting the things that they have invested in the work of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you will regret those things that you have invested looking for a temporal reward, looking for some adulation, looking for some affirmation, because it will ultimately leave you feeling somewhat empty, like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Because though you do all of those things, and if you have not done it for the right reason, the Bible says, it profiteth how much? Nothing. There's really no eternal or, for that matter, temporal reward that we can see in having done these things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying, "Lord, we gave up all this stuff for You. What's in it for us? What are we going to get out of this?" And that seemed to be a recurrent theme for the disciples. And in fact, if we went through the Gospels and we looked at even those disciples who comprised Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and how that when the mother of James and John came to the Lord, she was vying for them to have a place of prominence in the kingdom. Do you remember that? And I'm sure that the other disciples looked with some degree of contempt upon James and John because they had their mother go and entreat the Lord, ask the Lord, could our boys have a place of prominence when you set up your kingdom? You know what? She was wanting to know, if they've left me and if they've left their homes and their professions, I want to know what's in it for my sons. You know, I'm going to say that we might be put off by that suggestion that people would say something like that to the Lord, but every once in a while, we get to feeling like, I'm doing all that, and what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? I don't even get appreciation for it. But the Lord made a statement to these disciples, and He said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now, we will not take the time to go to Matthew and see Matthew's accounting of this dialogue, but because Matthew is a book that was geared toward the Hebrew and it was a kingdom age gospel, the Lord reminded the disciples who would become apostles that they would sit on 12 thrones when He set up His kingdom, and that they would judge the Hebrew people when He set up His kingdom. So He reminded them then that there's going to be something in this for you. But there were many opportunities throughout the course of the Lord's ministry where He shared with them that I am going to die. We heard tonight that the young people said that they were challenged to be focused upon the cross and to learn to love the cross. But there were many times in the ministry of Jesus that He shared with these men, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. He never told them He was going to die, interestingly enough, without telling them He would also rise again. He always gave them the good news last. All right, it was as if He said, I've got bad news and I've got good news. What do you want first? Didn't matter. He always gave them the good news last. He left them with some hope. Amen. But there were times where these men who felt that they had left all thought, if Jesus is going to die, then all of this time, all of this energy, all of this effort, all of this expense, what is the point? What is the point? Now, folks, I love these young people like you love these young people, and I love you like you love one another, but I'm going to tell you something. They're not the only reason why we do it. You understand? We recognize that we're doing it because the Lord has called us to do it, and we want to send them to camp because we love the Lord, and we care about the things that He cares about, that these young people have eternal souls, and they're going to spend forever somewhere someday. How many of you know that? And so we have a duty and a responsibility because we love the Lord to say, you know what, maybe I spent $300 helping to raise money for somebody else's kids to go to camp, and I still paid the $250 for my own kid. And the question might be risen in our hearts, was it really worth it? No man, Jesus said, having spent $300 on taco and nacho luncheons, and also had to pay for his kid to go to camp, for my sake, is going to go wanting. I'm going to reward him in this life, he said, but in that which is to come, with eternal life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last first. I want you to see that Simon was concerned about that. We've left all and followed Thee. They thought, you know, we've done more than the rich young ruler. What's in it for us? What's in it for us? The Lord talked to them about His compensation plan. He said, you're going to have persecution. It'll be with persecution, but I want you to know that you're going to reap dividends forever. Forever. Now, I don't know what your investments are in or what your holdings are in here on this earth. But I'll promise you that none of them will reap eternal reward. But what you do for the Lord out of a heart of love will reap eternal rewards. We don't do it just because we want to know what's in it for us. We do it because we love the Lord. But you know, when you do it because you love the Lord, the good news is also that there's something in it for you. Something in it for you. Listen, here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, these guys are going to get ready for baptism. Isn't that exciting? I'm so happy about that. You guys can walk out of the service anytime you want to if you're getting baptized. Okay? Anytime you want to if you're getting baptized. Okay? But look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. You know what? God is going to reward you. God will reward you. You know what the Lord said? Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He said that, I think, three times in the Gospels. I wonder what He meant by that. Sometimes the ones that are in a place of prominence, they have their reward. They'll have an inconspicuous reward because they're out in the front. But the ones that are at the background, when it comes time for the Lord to reward folks, He's keeping accurate records. And it's not in vain. It's not in vain. When you drive that bus, Brother Monty, and it's hot, you're tired, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Many of the ladies in here, when you're in that nursery, and there's five babies crying at once, and the AC doesn't work, and everybody needs to be changed, and you're wondering, man, I'm not getting anything out of this except a nervous breakdown, you know. Can I tell you something? It's not in vain. It's not in vain. What you do for the Lord out of a heart of love, it'll never be in vain. And you know what? There's some measure of reward that we have to sit here and see the fruit of the investment. We get some reward here. But there's an eternal reward there. It's not in vain. Never forget that. Whatever you do for the Lord, it'll never be in vain.